Oh yeah, that's swearing. Podcasts in one weekend. I'm here with a good friend of mine. I haven't used my name, so maybe you shouldn't either. But
oh, really?
Okay. Introduce yourself.
Ben! I am this dude's friend.
How long have we known each other?
Since year six. Or five.
Probably... I remember five.
Yeah, five.
Maybe we should... maybe we should start off by going through how we met.
I'm going to find it very difficult to history. Talk this whole time without calling you by your name. You realise that, right?
I'll bleep it. If you say it, I'll bleep it. So we met in year five. You had shoulder length hair at the time.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
I had a really good friend who I almost just named, whose mum was a teacher at our school, and we were quite good friends. But then somehow our circles mixed in year five, but I don't think we really hung out so much until probably year seven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Sounds right. Nerds have got to stick together. Although this dude here, who will remain nameless, doesn't like being called a nerd.
Well, because I'm not one. I'm not a nerd. It's
just a big pussy.
That's borderline. We went over the ground rules for the podcast. There is to be no swearing, as per my little pause of the song at the end of the first one. But
I gotta say, I felt like you were talking to me in that first podcast when you're like, don't swear. It just means you don't have a very good vocabulary.
It's not about you specifically.
And then I was just like, oh, snap.
It's more a comment on
society
in general. Mm-hmm. But you did spring to mind. in year seven, how did we come to arrive in the same group? I think it's probably through third party. The person that was here for dinner just now but had to run off.
You think so? Well, how did you meet him?
Well, I just introduced myself to him after English one day. I think it was maybe in second week. I hadn't really made any friends yet. So I introduced myself to him. I knew that he was a member of the sailing club. So he had that in common. And I decided that I probably needed some friends to survive in high school.
Probably need some friends.
But I thought you knew him.
I knew him through that guy. It's not possible to do this without names. My name is Ben.
Oh, no!
Name is Ben.
All right. We can do name, that's fine.
Yeah. So there's name's this dude, fine. Brett, in our primary school. And he'd come from another primary school where he was bullied and picked on because basically he let himself become a victim. And I thought he was all right, so I hung out with him. And he was a pretty good friend of me.
Interestingly, his name if you switch his names, it sounds a lot like a popular role.
Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? Yes.
Which we were both pretty into.
How many copies did you have?
I think I only bought a couple.
Yeah, I only bought like three.
But we read each other's.
Yeah. I cut all the pictures out and put them on my wall and stuff.
That was pretty cool. But probably what really solidified our friendship, I think, would be two things. One is definitely skating, rollerblading,
mm-hmm.
inline aggressive skating.
Yeah.
A few names it goes by. But taekwondo.
Actually, roller hockey. Is
roller,
really,
well.
We yeah. really did a lot of roller hockey, right? Because I used to live next to a concrete tennis court. So often the gang would come over and we'd pretend to play roller hockey.
But what came first, skating or roller hockey? I thought skating came first.
Really? I have no idea.
I thought so. But the park didn't get put in for probably a few years after we'd skated together. I thought we were skating down the street together before the park ever came.
Well, whenever we played hockey, we'd skate down the street to get chips. So. I don't know.
We may never know.
We will never know.
Memories are blurred, but we also did a bit of taekwondo together.
Which was definitely after skating.
Yeah, well and truly, because you were probably... I remember looking at taekwondo when Steve was a green tip.
Yeah.
That was... Were you part of taekwondo at that point?
No.
So I looked at it prior to you even starting.
Yeah. And I remember one of our friends got really annoyed that Dan and I thought we were really cool because we were doing a martial art, because he thought that we were just stealing his thing. I don't know, that just sprung to mind.
Who was that? Without getting into specifics.
The guy that always wanted to do kung fu but never did it.
Really?
Yeah. I remember getting all hurt because you and me were just copying his thing, because that was one of his things.
Well, that was one of his interests, but it was never one of his activities.
No, this dude's not very active at all, right? And now this dude's going to listen to the podcast and go, hey, I never said that. What are you talking about?
But I didn't start... So, go back to when I went past and checked it out when Steve was there as a green tip. I didn't start because Dad had done taekwondo as as an adult, but he did. He's down at Sydney Club, and he thought that the branch up where we started wasn't a very good example of taekwondo and all that it could be.
But if he'd gone back to his original club at that same time, he would probably have thought that club's not a very good example, because that club probably would have been run amok with kids.
Well, that, and his perspective was 10 years out of date, so he...
Exactly.
It's like all of us.
Taekwondo went from being really adult to it.
Yeah. Very popular amongst the adult population.
19-year-olds, 18-year-olds do it. And then it went to like, yeah, I'm going to sign my 4-year-old up.
It went from legitimate life skill to babysitting.
Babysitting activity.
That's not strictly true. But I think when we were doing taekwondo in our heyday, we made it what we wanted it to be. I never saw it as a babysitting thing while I was going through the grades.
No, because we were basically babies, right?
No, we were in high school.
Yeah,
so we would have been at least 15, 16. But what?
I started when I was 11 or 12.
You started a lot earlier than I did.
Yeah.
What? I think you might have even been brown belt when I started.
Probably.
You were a lot further along.
Oh, someone's notifications.
Somebody friends with another one of our friends just called our friend. Well, we haven't even discussed this afternoon's misadventure.
There's a big topic, just like elephant in the room kind of thing.
We'll get to that. I don't think we've fully covered off how we know each other.
Just stop fondling me with that trunk, big elephant in the room.
So we had skating and taekwondo in common whilst we were really solidifying our
And the third thing that Dan doesn't want to...
You idiot! I didn't believe that too.
You didn't believe that out. Yeah, I just said his name or her name. We don't know yet.
But... Well, I'm fine with people knowing that I'm male.
Okay. So, yeah. I just said his name, which will be bleeped out.
Now, the third thing, I think I know where you were going with that. It'll probably be... What did we call it?
It's no, no.
Not that.
No, what are you talking about? I can't read your mind.
Not that.
No, I was going to say that we were really cool, smart individuals that were awesome. That's what we had in common.
I'll agree. That was good. So, in any year 10, Ben was fine with having his name being used.
Yeah.
I probably am too, because I think my Facebook account's linked to Pufflefush, which is my Twitter handle, and it wouldn't take much detective work to find out my first name. Mm. So I'm down with that. You can use my name. Okay. It's fine. I won't bleep all the others out.
Dead.
So you moved away in year 10.
Well, yeah, beginning of year 10.
You moved down to a different school. What was the main reason for that?
My parents' job ended and they had to get a new job. And the occupation that they have, very secretive. They move around underground a lot.
So I think you were really the first friend I ever had who moved towns, but we stayed pretty well in contact with, and our whole group of friends did.
This is before Facebook and Twitter.
Long before made
it so easy to do.
Yeah, we physically had to commute a whole 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Between towns.
And like chisel out stuff and get them delivered on horseback to communicate.
Yes, so we frequently met up for skates. Hockey sort of dropped off a bit, but we'd at least go for street skates and we'd go to the parks in both our towns. And we went to see the Shaolin monks.
Yes.
That was a highlight.
That was cool.
And then for one reason or another, probably because one of the Australia's main unis is based in this town. We've now, one way or the other, almost our whole group has ended up in living in the same area again, which I think is pretty cool. Most of us.
Well, I think if like each state has a capital, but if there was like a sub capital, then this would be it, right?
Well.
That means yes, right?
I suppose so, but we're not in a rural capital. You could call Wagga, for instance, a rural capital, or Tamworth.
Yeah.
So another capital that's not a major capital and it's not Wagga and Tamworth is where we've all ended up.
It's the place, it's the city that people gravitate towards.
At least from our region, definitely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people from our school that weren't in our circle of friends have ended up in this place. Anyways, so that's probably enough of how we know each other. But see, now we've ended up in the same place. We hang out a fair bit, and I quite like that. It's a good thing. So let's talk about the other person in our group and maybe the misadventure of this afternoon.
Okay, so we're going to use names?
Yeah, it was Simon.
Simon.
So we were all rollerblading, which is something the three of us got back into in the last couple of...
2 months?
Yeah, 8 weeks, 2 months. And we've probably been skating... We've skated a few parks together. And it's been going pretty good. We've been pretty rusty, but we're slowly getting all our skills back. I think I've even done some tricks that I could never do.
Yeah, I'd say that is about myself as well. Because I was never very good to begin with, but yeah.
That's good. So we've both progressed. Simon had an accident today. It was really nobody's fault. He had a head-on with another kid at the skate park who was riding a BMX. Simon had his knee pads and his elbow pads on, but he forgot his wrist guards, and he doesn't wear a helmet anyway. This other kid had no protective equipment on whatsoever.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it. And these days, BMXers, they seem to take their brakes off as well.
Actually, BMXers are more likely to have helmets now. Like,
well, that's true.
It's not, like, I was surprised when we went to this skate park for the first time in years that there were so many helmets, because it just seemed foreign to me that in a skate park, the only person I'd ever see with a helmet would be one of my friends.
Yeah, because skaters never wore... When we were right in the thick of skating, when that's what we did on a weekly basis outside of school time, if you wore protective gear, there was no way you'd have any cred whatsoever.
No street cred, no.
No park cred.
No park cred.
But it seems to have changed a little bit. There are a lot more scooters now. The scooters were just coming in with the Razor scooters came in when we'd been skating for probably 5 years, I reckon.
You reckon? I thought they would have come in after after I'd kind of stopped.
But well, how long did we skate for before you stopped?
I don't know, 100 years, but it was, yeah. They were definitely not around as popular as they are now.
They weren't, but they're very popular now, and they all seem to be wearing helmets, which is a good start. I can see why I don't wear wrist guards, because you can't hold handlebars. Some of them wear gloves, because that's been made popular with brands on MTV and whatnot. But this particular person wasn't wearing any safety equipment. And I bet he regrets that decision now.
I'm pretty sure he's not, yeah. I don't think he's thinking straight yet. Probably never get that through his head, but whatever.
It was no one's fault. There's a certain etiquette at skate parks that if you're a skater, I think you'll recognise it. So it's very much like surfing etiquette. You don't drop in on other people. So if you see somebody doing a line and they're repeatedly doing that same line, then you pick a different line for that time. You try not to get in their way and you do your own thing, but then eventually you'll get sick of that line, you'll pick another one, and then other people can move in on the ramps that you were using, the apparati that you were tricking off. But this skate park that we've been skating recently seems to be designed that all the decent lines intersect.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to follow.
You gotta put your head on a swivel. You gotta look around.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to follow traditional skate etiquette at this particular park. And Simon and this person certainly did, because they had a head on, and Simon ended up with 12 stitches. He busted open his eyebrow and cheek, seven stitches in the bottom and 5 up top.
Which equals 13 according to him. That's how like smashed he was.
Yeah.
I got 13 stitches, he says. 7 on the bottom and 5 on top. What?
So we recalculated that for him, and he's lost a stitch.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But we took him to the medical center, and he got patched up pretty quickly. So that's good.
Good job, people.
There's no real moral to this story, other than...
Well, there is, right? We haven't told them, like, about what happened after the impact, and how it could have been handled a bit better on the end of the guy on the BMX.
Yeah, okay. So, after the collision, the whole skate park stops with any collision, and everybody mingles around to see what happened and who got hurt. We dropped in pretty much straight away and went over and had a look, and I saw that Simon had been opened up, and then I went across to have a look at the other fellow and see how he was doing, and he basically started swearing at me. So I said that he was welcome to look after himself then, and I hoped he enjoyed his head wound, and we took Simon up to the hospital. But then there's probably a good 10 minutes after the actual accident, while we were packing up and getting ready to go, during which time...
Yeah, the whole 10 minutes he's mouthing off at us, saying how it was our fault and we shouldn't have been skating there because we're not locals. And what else is he saying? Yeah, like, you should look where you're going. And it was surprising that he didn't rip on us for rollerblading, though, did he? He just ripped on us for not being a local. And he claimed that it was our fault and that we were various nouns.
Well, he didn't attack rollerbladers.
Which is nice.
But I think there would definitely be that undertone.
Yeah, if it was a skateboarder, then maybe he wouldn't have arced up so bad.
Yeah, but that's probably the reason why he got so upset. I mean, if we were skateboarders, even if we weren't locals, I don't think he would have been...
Yeah, probably not. No.
...that aggressive towards us. In my thoughts.
Yeah. He was quite upset.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I have to say, these days there seems to be a lot less overt animosity towards rollerbladers. Yeah. In fact, we even got a few heaps goods.
That's because they don't know what rollerbladers are anymore, right? Before, when we were rollerblading, it was like in the culture, ingrained in the culture. Rollerblading is gay, and that's what you get everywhere. Well, that's what I felt like we got everywhere. And now it's like, what are those wheels on your feet, dude? That's really cool.
They haven't seen it before.
Yeah.
Because they've come through probably at least a couple of years after scooters started, and everyone our age is stopping.
And yeah, like when we were skating, when we were teenagers, it was skateboards everywhere. And everything else was weak. Now it's like ripsticks are at skate parks, longboards are at skate parks, scooters are everywhere, and then you get even mountain bikes, BMX. So it's not such a stretch to see someone with wheels on their feet, aka rollerblading.
Yeah. And I even got compliments on my knee pads. The other day, I stacked it and slid all the way down the ramp on my pads. And some bloke said, "Wow, lucky you were wearing knee pads."
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. I remember we were at one of the local indoor skate parks where you have to pay like $20 to get in for 3 hours. And yeah, there were some kids there, and I heard them talking amongst themselves, like, "Oh, you'd have to be so crazy to rollerblade, that's so hard." And like, they're always talking to each other, like, "Oh, can you rollerblade?" "No, I can't rollerblade at all." It's like, yeah, it's pretty funny from where we've come.
It is refreshing. It's interesting. I've been telling everybody that they should rollerblade.
Why?
Well, because then maybe there'll be some more rollerbladers.
Yeah. Oh, little kids.
Yeah, when they...
Yeah. I mean, like, I thought you meant, like, people at work or something. Like,
no.
You don't want to get old people in a rollerblade, because they, like, won't know how to do it. Just make us look even worse than we do.
No, everybody at the park that reckons, or that they express some sort of interest in it, I say, well,
yeah,
you should give it a go. You should have a crack. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't compare it. I don't say it's a lot more fun than whatever they're currently doing.
Yeah.
Because that really is what we had to put up with starting out. And why you're rollerblading. Skateboarding's so much better.
Yeah. But they didn't really have a reason for that, did they?
No reason.
No logical backup to that.
No.
I know Dan's always quick to point out that with skateboards and scooters, if you go off a ramp, you can just kick it away and land on your feet, which is very natural. But on rollerblades, if you're kind of stacking it, it's because your feet aren't where they need to be, so you can't really land on them. Or if you do land on them, there's wheels, and then you just fall over anyway. So it's a lot. That's why rollerbladers often wear pads, because you can't just land on your feet. Because if you land on your feet, they're wheels, and then you just fall over and smash your head.
It's a lot harder to to practice self-preservation. If you go for a trick, if you want to land it, you really have to commit.
Yeah, you can't bail.
Or you can go for the trick being prepared to bail and expect not to get the trick.
Yeah.
Or if you wear pads, you can go to your knees and you can get somewhere in between those two scenarios.
Mm. So this program you're using to record this, is this like free?
This is a free program.
Mm-hmm.
We're using Audacity. I don't know why I decided to use this, because you can make podcasts happily in GarageBand, as far as I know, and that's...
I think you can do it in QuickTime as well.
There's really?
Like a QuickTime podcast recorder app or something.
Huh. I think, well, in GarageBand... It might even have a function to upload it automatically.
Probably.
I don't know. I quite like Audacity. I've used it to record other things in the past because I found it a lot easier to record multiple tracks. Not that we really need to do that in this situation. But I like the program. It's simple. It works well.
It's very... doesn't look like an Apple product, right? Because it's not, but...
No.
It's very much looks like a kind of Microsoft-y program. Is it on Microsoft as well, or just...
Yeah, because when I recorded episode 2, I was in Windows 7, I used the same program.
Yeah,
okay, I've got it installed twice.
So that's why it looks so horrible.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Looks like Simon's face after he smashed into that BMX.
A bit like that.
Yeah. So it was pretty puff of fushy on the face. Like, two big slits, like, split open in his face. It's like, blood everywhere. Yeah. It's gruesome.
I feel like I need a drink. Would you like a drink?
Got water?
Yes, water.
Yes,
that's some water. Why don't I put on a track while I go get some water, and then we can present our thoughts on it. I'm going to pick one that Ben may not have heard.
Oh, it's going to be bad then.
No, Ben's pretty good. He listens to most things that I tell him to.
You, in your last podcast, you mentioned Because of Ghosts. that you didn't mention Followed by Ghosts.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Two bands with similar names.
Yeah.
Because of Ghosts and Followed by Ghosts, they're both...
One's Australian, right?
Because of Ghosts are from Melbourne. Yeah. I've seen them live. I saw them in Sydney. I haven't seen Followed by Ghosts. They're very good also. But Because of Ghosts have much rawer sound. Have you listened to them before?
Once, yeah. But well, I can hardly find anything on the internet about them because they're that underground.
All right. Well, I'm going to play one of my... Actually, my... I'll play...
They're so underground, they're nearly coming out on the opposite side of the earth.
That's very underground. I'll play you my favourite song of theirs. Well. Just a bit of it while I get some water. This actually is I don't know if I have a favourite of their songs, but this would be the gateway song to Because of Ghosts, because it has everything a Because of Ghosts song should have, but it has a structure that is recognisable to most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's...
So I think it's a bit more accessible.
Now, is Because of Ghosts, can you get that on Spotify? Or not?
Oh, let me see.
Like, how is it that underground?
Yes.
Okay.
There's quite a lot of their songs on there, actually.
Okay, that's good.
Just an interesting fact. Pete, I talked about last episode, that lent me all those post-rock CDs. He's really good friends with the band, and that's how come I went to see them live.
Still talk to Pete?
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I might send him a message every now and then, but not much.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't be my favourite of their songs, and I'll play it all through Spotify, but it is a good example of a Because of Ghosts song.
You gonna play from the beginning or fast forward?
This is the beginning of the song. I might fast forward through to where I think will be interesting. This is the start of the build-up, and this build-up is really what Because of Ghosts excel at, this sort of build-up. So I'll be back. They're very different to Followed by Ghosts. Actually, when I was there, They passed out sheet music for this song, and they got the crowd to sing along.
I could probably learn the words to this song. It doesn't sound like much to it.
Pass out lyrics, they pass out music. So they assumed that you had some working knowledge of music track and how to read it and how to sing along. Thank you.
watched it in the end of it, or watched it in the end of it.
So that's Because of Ghosts. That was You Fool. Open parentheses. Your house is built on a frozen lake. Close parentheses.
And the implication there is that the lake will probably become not frozen and they'll fall in, and hence they are a fool.
I concur. During that song, I just noticed that Mushroom Blading have uploaded their new video. It's called Mushroom Blading 6.66 colon then capitals, caps lock actually. Suck it, aggressive, all one word. So I think we're going to watch it and... Oh, but if we watch it with the sound... We should watch it with the sound on. But we can't review it if we've got the sound on. If we've got the sound on, we can't review it. We're going to pause and watch it, and then we'll come back and share our thoughts. Yeah, we're back now. So he misses the kind grind. I mean, spoiler.
No.
Spoiler alert.
That was awesome.
Thoughts?
That was amazing. I probably forget, but as I was watching it, I was thinking, what do I like about Mushroom Blading? And they have amazing spins, which I wish I could do. I started trying to spin around in circles, but the best I can do is like one boot's like front toe and one's on the heel, and I spin around and I just look like I'm trying to fall over a lot. But they can just like spin really well and keep all wheels on the ground. They do pretty mad toe rolls and that kind of thing, if that's what you call them. But they'll just put them in the middle of like going down a stair and just all the crazy stuff. What else do I like? Their Seth slides are amazing. And they do like those cross-legged thingies. I don't know what they are.
Unity grind.
Unity Seth slidey thing. And they just slide all around and then they do a spin in the middle and then they'll just blow my mind.
So you like...
And what else do I like about them? I don't know. I've forgotten already, but there's definitely more.
You like the stuff that really isn't done by the proper rollerbladers.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because they're not doing many of these.
I've probably watched more mushroom blading than proper rollerblading.
Recently.
Full stop, probably.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, specifically about that video, I liked the work with the PVC pipe.
Yes.
And kicking it around and jumping over it and...
I want to get a PVC
stalling.
Pipe to practice.
That was very inventive.
And it's like crazy that they can grind it. And it's like moving. It doesn't break. You don't fall over. And the thing is round. And just rolling. What is that about?
Yeah.
Like I thought I knew physics, but apparently not.
Clearly not. But you are a physics lecturer.
Yeah.
Highlight of the clip would have to be about 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Passerby.
Yeah. Well, what is it Todd or Joey? I think it's Todd, right?
Todd did a...
What does he do?
I think he does a fakie 360.
He does something...
Fakie abstract.
He does something amazing.
Yeah.
Down like two banks of stairs. Like he lands in the middle, does something cool, then goes down the next bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
To us... Because we haven't done any stairs for a very long time.
Hey, I did three stairs today.
You did a three gap.
Yeah.
This was about 10 stairs at least.
Yeah. It was good.
And the passerby says, I mean, clearly he's impressed, but he wants to see more. So he comes out with, do a flip, which is just basically sums up the public's reaction to rollerblading.
Yeah. Well, normally it's do a backflip, but this was less specific, more general, you know, do any flip.
Just a flip of any description.
Your
choice of flip.
Yeah, so Dan and I lost it when that happened, but then that Joey's on the camera and he says to Todd,
Todd, can you do a flip?
Yeah.
And Todd says,
he thinks for a second and just goes,
I don't know, can you get a job?
Yeah, something like that. It was awesome.
It was very good. It really struck a chord with me because I've actually posted not that long ago. I posted that I get asked to do a flip more than anybody I know. And that's why it was funny to me.
Mm. And I think on your on your blades you've got a sticker that says do a backflip.
I do. I do. I printed that out with my label maker, do a backflip, and I stuck it on my on the outer wall of my rims. So everybody who looks close enough can see. Maybe they don't get the joke if they do see it, but I think it's funny.
But I don't think a backflip is that unattainable, especially for, say, Simon.
He can backflip.
He can do backflips off the ground.
Just a standing backflip.
So I think he's well positioned to actually get some pads on and try it. But when I suggested it to him yesterday, he didn't seem that keen. He said, what, hit my stack it and kill myself? And I was like, what are you talking about, Simon?
This is Simon that is currently training to become a stuntman.
Exactly. He's got to be able to do backflip. That's what everyone's going to ask for. Oh, you rollerblade? Can you do backflip? No, will be the response.
Do you think he should try... What else do you think he can do to work up to it? Should he try it, say, off a ramp into...
Oh, I see where he went there.
Into a foam pit.
I see where he went there. Well, I think he could easily do that if he could actually maintain the balance going down the ramp, which I didn't do when I was at this skate park. I leant too far forward. I didn't have one foot in front of the other. I just like doing naive newbie skate, feet kind of same level.
Planted.
And there's no, like the transition, it goes from like 45 degrees or more down to flat in about 6 inches or something.
It's pretty quick.
And it's just like this big change in angle and I just smashed the back of my head.
It's really good for bikes because it gets you all that speed. And then whips you straight into the aerial.
I don't think they were thinking about rollerblades when they designed it, but yeah, it'd be very easy on a bike.
Do you think Simon should skip that step?
I think so. I think he should just watch some film, watch some clips on YouTube, see that so many people can do it, including little kids, and then I think he would probably be ready to do it. And he would just find a quarter somewhere. And like you don't have to go all the way up to the quarter, like all the way up to the coping or anything, just a little bit in and then actually bend your knees and actually try to do a backflip.
So you think he should try it on a quarter?
Yeah, but not over the quarter.
But landing back down the face, going backwards and land fakie.
Yeah. That's what it seems like most people are doing on YouTube. And I'm talking about teenagers here.
I agree. I think that's how you should do it.
Yeah.
I think you'd have no problem, I think.
I think after like 5 attempts, he'd have it.
He'd get the rotation first go. He'd probably over-rotate.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd over-rotate. But then it'd take him one go, I reckon, to get down to under-rotating and going to knees. And then once he's to knees... Because it's a quarter, it's going to be really easy to just go to feet and skip the knees.
Although he did say today that he hasn't had much experience landing fakie, like actually landing backwards.
Do you think he should do a few, think he should practice drop-ins fakie?
Oh, can't hurt. We should all be able to do that stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Go down some stairs.
Yep. Fakie. I'd try to do some of that stair stuff.
Jumping down or rolling
down? No, rolling down.
I like that on Mushroom Blade that was rolling down, like backwards, one-footed.
Down a set of stairs.
That's crazy. I can't even, I can't do it forwards, two-footed.
Yeah.
Or two-feeted.
Maybe that's where we're going wrong. Maybe we just need to go straight.
Backwards.
Straight to the backwards 1 foot.
Yeah, definitely. And then if we just trip, backflip out.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon that'd work.
So when are we going back to that indoor skate park that I smashed myself? And I still haven't recovered. My elbow still hurts when I try to put weight on it in bed trying to roll over. I have to use my other side. It's a disaster.
Well, Simon wants to skate on Thursday, so we could do the 6:30 session on Thursday even. I've got Friday off.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's gonna be not busy. Just the foam pit. There's
it's
other things
be a horrible,
to do there.
Well, I'm not saying you can't go, but I think this week's going to be pretty horrible for me in that it'll be very stressful. And I'll have to look after my baby, which will become my big baby, because we will have another little baby this week. And my wife will be in hospital, and I'll have to look after everything. And I normally don't do that. Don't do that at all.
So you can't skate.
Probably not, no. No.
Well, I'll give you a pass this week, I think.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
I hope it's picking us up, because, like, it's only very small amplitude.
I wondered about the 20-minute mark, whether we were speaking loud enough.
Like, what, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, no, 27 minutes.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty bad to listen to.
Well, I don't care. I'm not going to listen to it. I've heard it.
Really? You're not going to listen to it?
No, I'll listen to it. Because I'm subscribed, so it'll yell at me. It'll say, unlistened podcast. And I'll be like, I've got to listen to that.
So, are we... Do we have anything else to talk about at this point?
Ah, yes. I remember one more thing I like about mushroom blading is the excessive use of the lucane. I think that's what it's called anyway. They're really good at it, don't you think?
I mean, like the... How they kick out all the aerials
out.
Instead of grabbing. They kick out during the aerials.
Yeah, like they'll like tap off a rail.
Yeah, that's called a fast plant.
Okay, they'll do that and they'll spin around like 360 and they'll just kick out at the camera while they're doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like really cool. And
yeah.
One leg sometimes, two legs. And I've seen, I think, Todd do it before where he'll come up real fast, go over something, and he'll just, like, do, like, this big triple kick out. And he's just, like, legs are going everywhere.
Like a front snap kick.
Yeah, like a triple front snap kick. Pretty cool. And I guess that's what in Mortal Kombat, what is that, the bicycle kick or something?
Yeah.
Liu Kang do that?
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yep, I quite like that too.
Oh, and I also wonder about, like, they use that, what's that lens they use a lot, where it's all circular?
And the fisheye.
Fisheye lens.
Yeah.
A lot of people use that lens. Is it so that you look like you're closer to the action? Is that what that's about?
Yeah, I think...
Because they use it a lot.
It makes the tricks look bigger.
Yeah.
And it's just a traditional lens for
yeah.
skate videos.
So I know that my wife doesn't like it, I think. She has complained about it in the past.
Why?
I don't know. Because she just doesn't understand. Like, why wouldn't you just use a normal lens?
It definitely gives that aesthetic to a skating video.
But I don't know, I don't want to feel like, I don't want to sound like what Joey and Todd would say, but they would say something like, it's not very authentic, it's a very artificial look. Even though they use it a lot, it makes everything look so much different, because what you're like projecting, what, hyperbolic geometry or something, it's weird. but it's going to make your, when your foot comes out when you're spinning, it's going to make the foot look like it's gone out pretty far and spin faster than it really is. So it's like...
it accentuates the action.
Yeah. It'd just be interesting to see it all flat, projected on flat, how it actually is.
Maybe it's just so you can get a wider angle. You can see more on the
wide
view.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you get a wider angle. That's probably more. Yeah. You get a wider angle, and the stuff in the middle is closer to you.
Mm. Probably all of those reasons.
Okay, for that I'll let it slide then.
Yeah, cool.
But you should definitely check out that video, Mushroom Burning 6.66. It's the number of the beast times 10 to the negative 2.
It was uploaded 1 hour ago, so it's fresh.
And what's the subtitle is Suck It Aggressive, because they do often talk about, like, whenever they use the word aggressive inline skating, they always put quotes around it because they think that term is quite ridiculous, I think. Yeah.
Yes, it does seem that way.
So I don't know, I'm feeling like Dan wants to finish his podcast.
No, I thought of something else we can talk about. I want to hear, because I mentioned in last episode that I play a telly. We have played in what we've called a band together.
We have played in the same room multiple weekends.
What instrument do you play, Ben?
I play the bass guitar.
Would you like to share with us some details of your big rig?
My big rig?
No, bass.
Oh, you mean my bass?
Yeah,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Right, gotcha. Well, I have a decent tube preamped rig. What is it? 500.
Isn't it 575?
575 watts. Goes into a quad. 410s, which is quite standard.
Damn. That's the cab. The cabinet.
The cab is 410s, yeah. And I've always said that I wanted another 410s, but Dan and my wife have told me you're an idiot.
Well, no, just until you utilise the full capacity of the first cab.
I can't really play very well at all, and I don't really need the cab at all. So anyway, yeah, and then I've got some pedals. Like, I've got this big... what is that?
Are you avoiding the brand of your amp and cabinets for a reason?
No, I wasn't.
Do you identify with the brand?
It's a pretty good brand. They, Jebediah, the bass player from... is it Jebediah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chick bass player in Jebediah, she plays... well, I think recently she plays Ashdown, which is what mine is. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Nice leather exterior. I try to... obviously, we don't gig, so it just kind of sits there and doesn't get bashed around, which is good. Yeah, and I've got my... how many strings does my bass have? What? It's got six strings. Yeah.
The new one.
My nice
custom
shop or whatever it's called. Custom Guitars Australia. I think they're made in Korea, though. I don't know. It's quite a nice looking six string. Kind of a natural finish to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Like it's got racing stripes.
Yes.
Sort of. It's got that ash stripe and almost the mahogany wing.
Yeah.
That sort of wood colouring anyway.
It's quite a nice guitar and a nice setup. Just needs a good player to go with it.
What pedals have you got? I'm actually very jealous of one pedal in
one
particular.
Pedal. So the pedal you're referring to is the red one that makes your pitch go up and down, up 2 octaves, or down 2 octaves, or anywhere in between. It's a what is that? Like a wah pedal.
It is the one and only. It's the Digitech Whammy.
The Digitech Whammy. See, that's how much I deserve it. I don't even know its name, but yeah, that's pretty cool pedal. And I've got like a little recording pedal, which again I don't know the name of. But damn,
it's the model up of mine. It's the Boss RC. I got
RC2. Okay.
Ben's got the RC3.
The Boss RC3. That's pretty cool, but the drums are a bit lacking. And then I've got my big multi-effects pedal, which is...
It's a Line 6.
It's a Line 6, see? Dan knows all these
great
things.
It's a 4 processor.
It's got lots of little knobs and buttons and yeah, it's completely wasted on me, like all my stuff, but it's still cool to have.
Do you use a pick?
No, I don't use a pick.
Why not?
Because, I don't know, it seems hard. You've got to coordinate. I don't know.
But you do have another piece of gear.
I got an Evo. Is that what you're referring to? Is that what
yeah.
That was,
so very slowly extracting
very,
information from you.
It's a subtle, yeah. So I do have an Evo, which, is awesome. Dan has one. It sounds more awesomer, which is a word I'm sure, when it goes to the guitar, because it's actually designed for a guitar, not a bass. But it's still a cool concept. To actually, like, it doesn't vibrate the string, I guess, it just affects the pickup and gives you this kind of feedbacky thing. It's cool.
I think it does vibrate the string.
You think it vibrates the string?
Because you can do harmonics on it.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, of course. Yeah, sorry.
It's like an electromagnet.
Yeah, so it does vibrate the string. But you put it over the pickup.
Yeah, so the distance from the pickup will affect... It's weird. Maybe we should look at how the Evo works.
We both have one. We don't know how it works, but... Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The closer to the pickup, the louder it is.
Yeah, so not enough people use it. I guess because it's quite expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so if you're a guitarist and you're looking for a pick, or pick $4 or 40 cents or something, I don't know.
Yeah, you can get them for 50 cents.
And then Evo is like a couple
almost
hundred.
Almost $300 sometimes.
You're like, okay, I'm going to use a pick.
Yeah, so the strings are moved by the electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
It's just that... It's got a string driver. That works like a guitar pickup. Its output signal is amplified and drives the other coil, which amplifies the string vibrations. With this feedback loop, the player can create a continuous string vibration.
So you're going to reference that?
It's from Wikipedia.
Yeah. Common Creative License.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Internet.
I wonder... This has got a list here of notable uses of the Evo.
I see the Edge there, but he uses everything, right?
He's got a really cool infinite feedback loop guitar as well. This is the one I was looking for. Georg Holm of Sigur Rós uses an Evo on his bass. In the song Untitled No. 6, aka Evo of the album, open parentheses, close parentheses.
It's a
Oh, look! Wikipedia also Liz Munafriani of the post-rock band Explosions in the song The Moon Is Down. I'm not sure, I played a bit of it in the last episode.
Yeah, and I like that song, so I think I listened to it after. I've definitely heard it before. Definitely. But,
oh, Defo.
Defo. I put it in my playlist on Spotify.
Really?
Yeah. My playlist is aptly titled What I'm Listening What I Am Listening To Now. Very descriptive.
And accurate. Well, that's pretty cool. That's Ben's rig. Should I go through my rig?
I guess that is only...
Or should I leave that for another podcast?
It's bedtime.
What?
What?
It's not bedtime.
Who was that third voice in the room? Oh my goodness.
Do you have to go? Or can you hang around?
I don't know.
Alright, we'll go through my rig too at some time. So, probably talk a bit more about my guitar playing in another episode, but this is my rig. I have a Fender Thinline Telecaster. It's a Mexican 1972 reissue, natural finish, and I've swapped the Perloid pickup guard for black. It's a three layer, actually, the black, white, black pickup, pick guard, I mean. It's very nice, it's my dream guitar. And it's got the F hole, the F cutouts at the semi hollow ash body, and the reason I like it is because it didn't used to be such a popular guitar, but now I'm seeing this exact guitar in a lot of bands with the Perloid pickguard. So at least mine looks different because I swapped the black. Softer to the black. I've got, so then I've run that into a custom shop four-way switcher, the ABCD switcher, which I run into a tuner, it's a Korg tuner, and then I've got, the reason I've got that switcher is because my amp is a Vox AC30, so it's got the four input. So it's got the high and low gain for regular channel and top boost, and it's the channels are foot switchable, so I've got to do that through my own loop custom channel switcher. So then in the effects loop, I've got the MXR Dynacomp, that's my compressor. Then we run to a Proco Rat. It is the, it's a vintage, and it's the big box Rat. It's got the LM350 chip in it, which is the famous chip in the Rat. And then I run to an Ibanez TS9 reissue Tube Screamer. And that then will go to my Boss DD20 Giga Delay, which goes into my Boss RB5 reverb pedal, and then that goes into the Boss RC2 loop station. And sort of externally, I've also got the foot switch for the Vox, which will do the spring reverb that's present in the amp, and also the tremolo. So I can do quite a few effects, but I mostly use distortion and reverb, a little bit of compression from time to time. I'd really like to get, maybe I'll talk about guitar effects in its own podcast so I could talk for ages, but that's my rig. It was lots of fun talking about it.
We didn't tell them. Okay, so
we haven't mentioned the band in quotation marks.
Yeah. We haven't. But I was going to say, we haven't mentioned what Simon said to the nurse or doctor, or whoever it was that stitched him up.
So we rock up to the hospital to get some stitches in Simon's face. And the nurse comes out and calls his name. And then as he's walking over, she says, "Oh, how'd you do that to yourself?" And he leads off with, "Well, we were at the skate park bringing rollerblading back."
Wow.
Dot, dot, dot. Enough said, really.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I think I would have, I don't think I would have responded like that.
Probably would have just said I had a head-on collision with someone riding a bike.
Yeah, or I was skating at the skate park and we had a collision. Because, when you say skating...
It's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous. So, we don't have to have that awkward pause and that awkward look.
He wanted to be recognised as a rollerblader.
Oh, yeah, it's props to him. Is that what you said? Props?
Yeah, he went straight for it. There was no hesitation. It was just his whole reply hinged on, well, it really highlighted what most people think about rollerblading and what all the mushroom blading and the Canadian fellows seem to bring up all the time, that rollerblading is dead. Society thinks rollerblading is dead.
Mm.
Simon acknowledged all of that really unwittingly, because I don't think he put that much thought into what he's saying. He just came right out with, "We're bringing rollerblading back."
And I don't know about Dan's thought process, but I was like, "Are we? Is that what we're doing? I thought we were just rollerblading."
We're not trying to bring anything back. We were just out there to have a bit of fun and roll around. And we definitely won't bring it back.
No.
If anything, we were killing it further.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Yeah. Like, I'm not that good at rollerblading. Like, today I learned a new thing, which is, you go fakie up the quarter or half pipe or whatever, and then you do a 180 or half cab and come fakie down. And I hadn't done that before, but that's like a very simple thing. I thought I should practice that because I want to be able to do 360s or...
Also, fakie 360 landing forwards down the ramp. Or is that what you mean? That's what you want to be able to do?
I want to be able to go forward up the ramp, 360, come back fakie. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you're practicing landing fakie, really?
Yeah. That's right.
Did you stall? Or did you just...
No, I wasn't that far up.
Okay. So just on the transition.
Yeah, it was... It's pretty basic stuff, but I'd never done it.
Foundation.
Yeah. So I was at the skate park with my 2-and-a-bit-year-old, and she was running around skating, as she calls it, and some kids on... bikes rocked up and they saw what we were doing and they're like, "Let's go to the dirt jumps." So they went off to the dirt jumps, which I thought was nice.
So they let you have the park?
Yeah.
That would never have happened 10 years ago.
No. And then half an hour later, these kids showed up on these longboards and they were so long that, not on the quarters, but the ramps are like around at the top. At my skate park.
Yeah, it's like a bank with a... sort of about a... what is it, 45? About a 45 degree...
Yeah.
...rail at the top. What do you mean that curved roll-in?
The curved roll-in.
Okay, the roll-in. Yeah, it's a roll-in.
Okay, it's a roll-in. That's what it's called then. Yeah, they would bottom out on their skateboards at the roll-in bit. That's how long their boards were. So it was really funny, but they, one of the kids hadn't dropped in before on the other bank that has, it's a 45 degree bank with a rail on top or something.
Mm-hmm.
I like a square edge rail. And yeah, it was pretty cool to see him. Like, he was chickening out a lot, but he eventually got it before I left, which was nice. Yeah.
So he'd start, what did he start at the top? Or did he sort of start halfway down?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I was gonna actually go up to him, but I thought, like, the kid doesn't want to hear some like 20-something-year-old telling him how to skate. Because I was thinking, you know, you'd want to go up and then come back down and realize that it's not that scary.
He started at the top then.
So he just started at the top and eventually, yeah, just dropped in.
Did he make it first go? He would have been stepping off, like going for it, but then jumping to feet.
Yeah.
So he's doing it. Yeah.
So he made it.
That's a completely different approach to learning a trick than we would have to take.
Yeah. And like, I was thinking you'd want to put your feet above the trucks. But he was like, nah, just like normal weight on the back half. I thought that was a bit sketchy as well. I would have thought if you're beginning, you'd want to put your weight like really wide stance, because these boards were pretty long. You're not going to run out of room.
Mm.
So it's cool.
What's your best trick?
What's my best trick?
In your opinion, what is the best trick that you can
landed
ever?
I don't think I have any tricks, really. I feel a lot of the time I'm just rolling around the skate park. It's pretty funny, but...
Can you think of the trick that you've done since starting again 2 months ago that you call a trick?
So in rollerblading, I guess you've got tricks that are... grinds, which I can't do. Well, I did some front sides at that indoor skate park, which was cool. That was pretty cool. But I haven't been able to reproduce them. What are other tricks? There's like jumps with grabs. Basically,
yeah.
Whenever I jump, I don't grab. So I'm not sure if I have any tricks. Like,
you jump and land fakey, that would be a trick.
Okay, I guess that's
you
a
do
trick.
A 180 midair.
So I was practicing like jumping onto like a soul grind store, which I know isn't a thing, but I was practicing it.
That's a thing.
Is it a thing?
Yeah, it's called, yeah, it'd be a soul grind, a soul store.
Okay, I'm sure you told me it wasn't a thing back in the day, but anyway. Because when you do a soul, you know, you don't come on perpendicular to the rail, you come on parallel, but. Anyway, so I was practicing that on the third stair. So you jump up and do it on the third stair. I thought that was probably the coolest thing.
They're big stairs, though.
Oh, they're big
stairs.
They're
quite wide, so don't go picturing just
like
regular stairs.
Yeah, like
it's
probably
required.
Probably 30 stairs is more like.
Generally. Yeah. It's got the height of 3 stairs, but
it's pretty
wide. It's quite wide. They're quite wide stairs.
But
so
I've always liked jumping things. Because I remember when we were rollerblading, I'd always like to jump really high, and that's all I knew how to do, I think. But I think I did 180. I did used to 180 over the wheelie bins that were turned over on their sides.
End to end.
End to end.
Did you 180 end to end?
I don't know. I think so.
Just 180.
Just the short way.
But you could jump it into him.
I think so. I don't know.
I distinctly remember.
Okay.
I don't remember 180, but...
I remember freaking your parents out, yeah. Out in front of your house, but... Yeah, I like skating and flying and stuff. The tricks are very... I don't know, there's so many tricks I don't even know half the... Like, you know a lot more names of tricks than I do.
Mm.
But I'd just be happy to do any old grind down a rail. It doesn't have to be a fancy grind. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
A lot to learn.
Yep. That's good.
So what's your best trick?
Well, I've pretty much got solid grinds. Down. I'm pretty happy that I can soul grind most things now. I can't really, well, that's not true. I can soul grind ledges, and I can soul grind rails, and I can soul grind some quarters. Not consistently, but if I try,
long enough, if I try a few goes at the one obstacle, I think I will eventually soul grind it.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty proud of that, that I can do a grind.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, just being able to do any sort of grind.
Yeah.
Sort of was the pinnacle.
Have you used your grind box more than once or twice?
I've used it not heaps, probably not heaps, maybe 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
I've used it a few times.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I definitely want to make some type of practice rail. I think the going term is P rail.
really?
Yeah, I think so.
P rail?
Yeah, I think that's what it means, practice rail. So I could be wrong. Anyway, I want to get one and or make one and just practice a bit because I am really scared of jumping onto a rail and just my feet coming out, my head going down, smashing my head. Or my feet getting stuck and then my head going forward and smashing my head. It's all about my head.
Head's very important.
My head is very important, that's right. Like that guy at the skate park said, I am a physics professor or lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you think you're going to be able to grind?
Definitely. I'm going to smash grinding. It's going to be easy. Once I'm really good at it, it'll be easy. Pretty sure.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm just going to get a big long metal thingy and like put it off my driveway into the grass and then just grind.
A rail or a ledge?
Rail.
That's a good place to start.
Square rails are really scary for front sides, right? Because they're like so slippery. Anything.
Yes.
Like,
I don't think I've ever been able to front side a square rail.
Because, like, there's 1 millimeter of metal touches your shoe,
yep.
So there's no friction.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
I can royale some ledges. If I go up a ramp and then onto the ledge, I can royale it. But if I have to jump from flat onto a ledge, I can't royale things safely. I can royale coping on top of a quarter. I'm happy doing that.
Yeah. It's funny, like with these new bearings and wheels, I've got so much more speed and it's like hard to stay in the half pipe now. Like, I'm not used to actually getting over the coping.
Mm.
Normally, it's like I'm stalling on the coping front or doing, like, a 180 onto it. But now it's like, oh, dear, I'm going past where I want to go. What do I do? And then I just, like, jump out of the quarter, the half pipe. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm actually going to have to get air one day.
Yeah. You should just go for it next time.
Mm. That's the hard thing about rollerblading, I think. Just going for it.
We talked about that a bit earlier. But that's why we wear pads.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go for it and then kick your wheels out.
No.
And land in a safe manner. If you go for it, you have to be prepared for a plan B. Most of the time.
Yeah.
So you either have to be able to go to your knees or you don't go for it. You sort of half it. You go for half of it.
Mm. Like I can skate pretty comfortably without any pads, but it will just mean that I will never try to do anything big that I haven't done before, that I'm not confident doing. Because the result will be me being very sore for a while. So I'm wearing pads now, which I think's made Dan happy.
Well, yeah, I always wore pads, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Never wore pads. But the reason why it's made me happy is for that very reason. I don't think you try enough things without pads.
I am a big pussy cat. I normally used to skate with long pants because I never used to wear shorts. and you could never wear knee pads with long pants without it being really restrictive, I thought. I noticed that just recently. So now I'm like wearing shorts. And everyone gets to see my legs, so everybody's happy.
We all win. Less restriction and something nice to look at. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
it's, we're probably done.
Yeah.
It's a good 35 minutes longer than any other podcast I have yet recorded.
So if you take the number of podcasters, then we haven't even gone the normal length, right?
You think it should, because we've got two, we should both
two.
Be accountable for 45 minutes of content.
Well, you know, maybe. Maybe not.
But
we can
work up to that.
Yeah, maybe we can choose to look at it however you want. Is that a laser printer?
Yes.
Is that a mad printer?
It's pretty mad.
My print is so annoying.
And how much was that? That was pretty cheap.
$90.
$90.
Yeah, but
you should get one.
I know, the thing about all printers is the cartridge. I think laser printers.
Cheaper than ink.
Really?
Like, it prints more paper than just
ink. Oh, definitely.
What's
how much is the cartridge?
What's a cartridge worth?
Yeah, not sure.
Just buy another printer then.
Just keep buying
printers.
It's
usually cheaper to buy a printer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that is one cool looking Fuji Xerox printer.
It's a pretty decent printer.
Not a scanner though, is it?
No.
No.
Just a laser printer.
Who needs a scanner then?
It prints really well. Okay.
Alright, I guess.
Let's wrap it up. Why don't we.
With a song or something.
Let's wrap it up with a song. Have you.
This is the song that does it.
Not that one. Please.
It keeps on going.
You remember I recorded these songs of myself?
Yes.
Always. Oh, well. It's timestamps 2012. It would have almost been a year ago. I recorded three songs, so I'll play one of my very own songs, and unfortunately Ben doesn't feature on. But
was it something weird about the name? Like, wasn't it meant to be four songs or something? I seem to remember something weird about it. Did you record them one a day?
Yes. So I recorded this. I called it 3 days EP, and I recorded one song each day.
Yeah.
But then I ended up recording two songs on one day and then skipping a day.
Ah,
but
cheat.
I still call it 3 days EP,
cheat,
and that was
cheat.
The story. Of,
okay.
Yeah. Do you remember any of these songs?
No.
All right. Well, we'll do the sign off. You can hit me up on Twitter. Pufferfush is my handle. That's how a New Zealander would say pufferfish.
Yeah, you said that. That's three times you said
no,
that.
No, this has become the usual. This is how I sign off at the end of every podcast.
Okay.
Would you like to...
Don't over-promote yourself or anything.
No one's going to hear it anyway. Would
you
like...
Can you check how many listeners? Like, I know they say that a lot, but can you see how many downloads you get?
I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you tell?
Pretty sure it'll be two downloads.
How many downloads your podcast has? Can I tell how many? Okay.
This is podcastalley.com.
Podcast Alley. iTunes doesn't do it, but Feedburner might. If you feed
your burner through Feedburner.
So yeah, you can look at Feedburner. So it seems to be that Feedburner does it.
Whatever that is.
Well, my podcast has a Feedburner, but I don't think iTunes goes through Feedburner. So if you're subscribing through iTunes, I wonder if that will register with my Feedburner. Probably not. So so the people would have to subscribe to the podcast through feedback.
Like, I know you're signing off and everything, I've already interrupted you, but we should mention that we watched that movie at my house the other day.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to do... We could do a whole podcast on that movie, I reckon. There's a lot to talk about.
There wasn't that much to talk about.
There's a fair bit to talk about.
Okay, the best... Okay, two things to talk about. One,
so
I thought it was a movie that was like an hour long or something.
So we're just going to talk about it now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Again. All right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Go on then.
So I thought it was going to be like a movie, like a full-length movie or whatever.
Yeah.
I paid $1.99 US, which is $1.98 Australian, apparently.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if I believe that exchange rate, but anyway. Then after we watched the movie, Dan finds it for free on the site that I
bought it
from. Thank you, ShopTask, who were the people that actually made the movie. Good movie, I think. The other thing
was... What was the movie called?
Flip-Flops.
Flip-Flops.
Yep. And I did notice a close-up of some flip-flops, a.k.a. thongs, in the...
I didn't. When was that?
Oh, they're walking up a stair. I noticed the second viewing, because I watched it twice.
Watched it twice. I might go watch it again, because it's free. But you supported them.
They'll make
flip-flops too now.
Oh, exactly. So $1.98 or whatever it was. Now... Oh, so what was it? Half an hour long. It's half an hour long, and Dan said halfway through, he goes, you know, it's 30 minutes long, but there's probably only like 3 minutes of footage.
Okay. Every clip is in slow-mo.
It's probably about not
50%.
Probably not 3 minutes, but yeah, okay. So probably 10 minutes of 10 minutes of skating footage.
I don't remember a single trick that was done in real time.
No, but who wants to see that stuff in real time anyway?
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't like, yeah.
It sounds like I'm ripping on it, but I thought it was a very good effect.
I thought it was great. And I noticed, like, sometimes you don't notice the music, or sometimes the music's, like, right in your face in skating clips. But this was all kind of...
I think you meant to call them edits.
Edits. Is that the word now? Okay, skating edits? No, edits. Just edits.
Just edits.
Just edits. Oh my god.
Because they're not specifically skating. They're
such a
noob. Pieces of communication to the world. So you just call them edits.
Yep. So the music was nice and ambient and kind of post-rockish. And then, like, all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? There's this humongous amount of noise, which is the music. Because it just crescendoed for like 15 minutes or something, and it was really loud at one point, and I was like, oh my goodness, can we turn that down? But it was cool, and then just like faded off again.
Yeah, the soundtrack was very well done.
Do we know who played on the soundtrack?
It being the credits.
Yeah.
I don't know which bands were playing.
Okay, but it's very, yeah, it's good. It suited the slow motion stuff. The full speed stuff suits that kind of rap, kind of in your face, that kind of theme.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think that's what... definitely Mushroom Bleeding doesn't stand for that kind of stuff.
No.
And I know Leon knows the people, Mushroom Bleeding people, and he's a ShopTask dude, and he was in a lot of the clips. Pretty much 90% of the time someone's face was in the frame, it was Leon.
Yes.
I found that in the second one.
Probably the other thing that I've heard you tell a few people.
Yeah.
And you pointed out, you got this in the first viewing, which I didn't get.
Okay, go.
When they're in the cafe, and the waitress, comes over and they're talking about rollerblading, she goes... Well, I thought rollerblading was kind of like a dying sport, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, rollerblading, that's sweet. And then the next 15 minutes of footage is slow motion bales.
Yeah.
And they just eat the concrete.
Oh, yes. And there's blood involved and stuff. But yeah, she doesn't say rollerblading sweet. She's like, oh, you're trying to bring back rollerblading, that's sweet, or something like that. Like, it's about the fact that you're trying to bring it back, that's a really cute kind of thing. And, yeah, they say, oh, that's a nice way to describe it. And, yeah, next clip is this dude just down. How many stairs do you reckon that was? More than 15, I reckon.
Yeah, but he was on the ledge covered. So
oh, yeah, that's right. He's rolling down this ledge thing. And then when he come off, he was kind of not vertical. He was, like, nearly horizontal. And he just...
He pretty much did what Simon did today.
Well, there's no kid on a bike involved, but...
But he didn't need stitches. It's the same sort of injury.
Yeah, it's like, kind of, what do you call that area? Between your temple and your forehead.
Eyebrow.
Up here. Oh, yeah, I guess eyebrow.
Eyebrow and cheek.
Okay. Yeah.
My recollection.
It was awesome. And,
good movie.
And okay, so...
Good edit.
Good edit. Well, no, I think it was a movie.
Or was it a film?
Or a film. What is that?
What's that all about?
Big noise outside, dogs inside. Time to investigate.
Is it somebody putting the garbage bin out?
We'll just pause, we'll come back and do the sign up.
There's leaves all over your aircon. Plastic gutter guards.
So the noise was caused by the gutter guard falling down, but as to what caused the gutter guard to fall down.
How do you put the gutter guard back up? What's a gutter guard?
Plastic. Leaf guard.
Leaf guard. Plastic.
I'll fix it another day.
Just get a ladder.
So we'll do the sign off. Thanks for talking.
I'm pretty good at talking occasionally.
That's good.
I do that as a job.
Well, so do I, but I spent the whole first episode talking about how I don't think I'm good at talking, even though I do it a lot.
Yeah. But I think my talking, in my job, I think talking is more of a focus, more of a prerequisite.
Cool. Well, I'll have to get you around to talk again one time. So that's it. I'll play one of the songs I recorded last year. This is me on my guitar. It's from the 3 Days EP, which I wanted to record one song each day, but I ended up cheating and not doing. This one's probably my favourite of the songs because it has a loud ending. It might not come through very well, because the recording itself isn't actually that good and now it's coming through the speakers into the tiny microphone, but I hope you get some of it and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you.